Councillor Paul Baines to his first council meeting following his election for the Anstey ward on the 20th of December, and welcome. I would also like to wish all members of the council a very happy, healthy and prosperous year, and that your dreams and aspirations will come to fruition. The theme of... We've got a lot of aspirations at the moment. The theme of flowers was the basis of the September council meeting, and I felt maybe that although floral themes are wonderful, that Daffodils by William Wordsworth could be widened a little. Emily Dickinson was inspired by Wordsworth, and she saw new dawns and hopes within the following poem. It's called Hope is a Thing with Feathers. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. I hope you liked that. It's about hope, and we all need to have hope in the future, whatever you think and believe. But I felt that that was appropriate. I would like now to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded, and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the openness of local government bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. If you are curious why councillors are looking at screens, it is because a number of them are using tablet devices to access their agenda papers. I would also like to remind councillors and the other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are to the rear and side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned for this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed? Okay. Item one, apologies. Apologies have been received from councillors Gaskell, Grimley, Hatcham and Parsons, and Honorary Alderman Stott. If councillors have any other apologies, please press your button to indicate. Councillor Forrest has... she is unable to attend as well. Thank you. Sorry.
Councillor Hammerson.
Gareth Howson, sorry.
Hampson,
Councillor Hampson. Thank you. Yes. And
Eric Vardy.
Eric Vardy. Yes, Councillor Vardy. Anyone else? Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interests in the business to be considered at this meeting, which have already been made by councillors. Councillors, please indicate by...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just one disclosure from Councillor Joel Mayer. It's a personal interest in item 6.1, which is the medium-term financial strategy, and the nature of the interest is that Councillor Meir is a member of Leicestershire County Council.
Any other councillors? Councillor Farrar, yes.
I am also a member of County Council.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My view, frankly, is that this was too remote an interest to be declarable. But if it's the fashion, I'll join the fashion. But I honestly think it's a bit too remote to be declarable, but with all respect to colleagues. Is that the...
Anyone else? Thank you. Item 3, minutes. I move the minutes of the meeting of the Council held on the 5th of November 2018 be confirmed and signed.
I second that, Madam Mayor.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is carried. Oh. We don't have to write that. Item 4, announcements. 4.1. Councillors will be aware of the recent death of Mrs. Maureen Basie. I think that it is fitting to record again the Council's thanks for the service she provided as mayoress of this borough. And just to say thank you for allowing me to be at the funeral, Councillor Pacey, and hopefully we'll be seeing you as much in the future again. Thank you.
Thank you.
On Sunday, it's Holocaust Sunday, and there's going to be an exhibition at the museum, Charnwood Museum, where they're going to gather about 12:30. But you can also go, as I say, into the museum and walk to the bandstand. Okay? Thank you. Hopefully you'll be there. 4.2, I call on the leader to make his announcements.
Madam Mayor, I have no announcements to make. Thank you.
4.3, I call on the Chief Executive to make his announcements. Please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
I'm now moving on to item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? Thank you. No. Item 6, business reserved to council. Item 6.1, medium-term financial strategy, 2019-22, page 20. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose this item.
Madam Mayor, to identify the financial issues affecting the council and the borough in the medium term, in order to provide a base for priorities to be set and to inform the council's budget setting process, I move that the medium term financial strategy 2019-22, as appended to the report of the cabinet, be approved.
Thank you, Councillor Farr.
Madam Mayor, I second that and reserve my
right. If any councillors would like to speak, please press your buttons. Councillor Meir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've had the opportunity in budget scrutiny panel to have a look at the MTFS in detail and the forthcoming budget in that's coming to the next meeting. But once again, we have, Madam Mayor, a medium-term financial strategy put before us where the authority is proposing, again, to spend beyond its means. In the next 2 years, we can expect the Council to spend over £1.5 million more than it receives in income or grants. It outlines the uncertainties around the future, both in terms of political and economic terms, but also in what it calls the Fairer Funding Review. We all know that Leicestershire County Council, along with other Shire counties, are pushing for a review of local government funding, what it calls a Fairer Funding Review. After all, we know why Tory-led councils are pushing for this review, as one has already gone bankrupt and others are teetering on the edge. Let's face it, the gist of this review in reality is to take money away from poorer, more disadvantaged metropolitan and urban councils to leafy and more wealthy Tory Shire counties. So why do I raise this, Madam Mayor? Well, because there is an inherent danger which could lead this council losing some or all of its £4 million funding it receives from the new homes bonus. If this review goes ahead, and as detailed on page 54 of our agenda, the loss could be absolutely staggering. Turning back to the MTFS, it is not a prudent or sustainable way to run the finances of the council. The lead member talks of reserves, yes, Madam Mayor, I'm sure he will, reserves that have occurred due to the consistency underspending year on year, not filling council job vacancies in a timely manner or not filling them at all. By raising council tax from the poorest in our communities, by increasing charges for services, and some of those charges have gone up by an eye-watering amount. I mean, who can forget the 40% plus increase on charges for brown bin collections last year alone? There is uncertainty over the next few weeks and months, and we all know what that is without speculating here. I would have thought that under the circumstances that it would have been prudent to present to the council a strategy that meant that we lived within our means. The Labour Group, Madam Mayor, cannot support this strategy. Thank you.
Councillor Mayor. Cut, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Like Councillor Mayor, I have serious concerns about this budget. I know we'll be discussing the final figures in February, but it will be the ninth austerity budget. And as a council, there's so much more that we could be doing, but we're not allowed to. Just two comments about recent meetings. First is to do with the budget scrutiny meeting. One of the main concerns of the budget scrutiny meeting was the continued use of reserves. And the fact, as I pointed out last year, using reserves is not sustainable. You cannot keep putting up charges to compensate because that's not allowed. And eventually the reserves will run out. So serious situation with central government really saying that it no longer needs local government. And it's really sad, the state of affairs. And finally, to do with the Loughborough special rates, we discussed this recently at the Loughborough Area Committee. There was absolutely no room for any member at the Loughborough Area Committee to have any input at all on the Loughborough special rates. Increase is had all been agreed and presented to us as done and dusted. There was increased costs. There were service pressures, there was ongoing pressures, there were support costs, employee costs that had all been added and what have you to the figures. And there was no opportunity for any of the Loughborough Area Committee members, and that's all party, to have any input into putting forward ideas, new suggestions that they could be costed out and brought back because it was all done and dusted and no room for manoeuvre. Loughborough Area Committee has suggested that next year, all being the same, that there's actually two Loughborough Area meetings that look at the budget, one earlier, November or December, to actually look at the figures and see where there is opportunities, where things could be costed, brought back then in January to be firmed up in time for the February budget meeting. And I think most members agree that that would be a better way forward. However, there does need to be some money for the Loughborough Area Committee, and hopefully that will be looked at. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any other councillor?
Thank you. Sorry.
Councillor Morgan.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Councillor Morgan. Yes.
Madam Mayor, thank you very much. Really, just to say, I always find it quite curious, some of the language used by the opposition when it comes to things that this council does. We're either accused of not doing enough and underspending, or accused of spending too much and doing too much. Today we've been accused of spending some of our reserves, which for the past few years we've explained that we've been putting away for when finances are tight, to make sure that we don't have to cut services, which we've been criticised for. And now that we have been demonstrated to actually be right, and then indeed we are actually using some of the reserves that we've put aside for this occasion, we're now being criticised for that as well. So it appears that we can't actually win. And yet we are actually winning, because we're preserving our services. We are protecting our residents. We are providing extraordinarily good services to our residents at the smallest cost possible. I'll point out again, council tax has not gone up in Loughborough under the Loughborough precept and the special rate for many, many years now. And indeed, the council tax increases that have happened in the last few years in Charnwood as a whole still mean that we are, in fact, one of the lowest charging authorities in the whole country. And that's something I'm very proud of, because I think the services that we provide for the money that we charge our residents, and we always have to remember it's their money, it's not our money, are extraordinarily good services. And our approval ratings on everything from bin collections to street cleansing continue to hit highs. So I'm very, very pleased that whilst we are having to dip into reserves, we were very prudent over the past few years to make sure those reserves were available for this moment, and that's why they're being used. But again, within 3 years, it demonstrates that the budget will be squared. The funding from central government, we understand we have now a clearer picture about what's happening to that, and I'm satisfied that that's still going to be pretty consistent. But we have to always be aware that finances will continue to be tight, and this authority needs to make sure that the services it provides to its residents continue to be high quality, and they will be under this administration. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Okay, thank you. I call on Councillor Barclay to sum up.
I did reserve my right to speak. I was elected to this council in 2003. And so therefore... Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. I've sat through many of these meetings, and it's always the same thing that comes up. Don't spend your reserves. You've got too much in reserve. Why aren't you spending it? And I think one of my fellow councillors from this side of the room mentioned the fact that we'd put up the cost of brown bins. That isn't compulsory. That's a choice. People don't have to have those bins. They choose to have it, so therefore one presumes they can afford to do it. And compared to other boroughs across this county, we are still not by no means the highest in those charges. I'd like to congratulate Councillor Barclay and the Cabinet and the rest of the councillors and the officers who've worked so hard to ensure we're in this secure position. We will still have enough reserves to carry on with the services that we want to maintain. Our services are maintained at the highest level, and I've had the fortune to travel around the country, and I meet and I talk to a lot of other people in other areas, and I think a lot of them would be thrilled to have the services that we have here. So I wholeheartedly support the recommendations as laid out in this agenda item. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Fry. Any other councillor? Oh, I can't now, can I? It's Councillor Barclay. Sorry, I'm getting... It's the new year, Tom.
Bill, I stunned to hear that my colleagues on the opposite side don't realise this is not a budget. This is a strategic view on the council finances over 3 years. Are we living beyond our means? Certainly not. At the end of this, we will have at least £4 million worth of reserves. We have a plan within the medium-term financial strategy to balance the books, and they are in year three. Now, this really shouldn't come as a surprise, bearing in mind the Budget Scrutiny Committee has looked at it. It's been out for extensive consultation. It is a plan for the future. I am confident of the future. Councillor Mir has his crystal ball and he's telling us about the Fairer Funding Review, which even the government hasn't announced what the terms of it are. So, you know, it's ridiculous to say things like that. I am going to focus on Charnwood. I am confident that we have a plan for the future. There is, without a doubt, there's uncertainty in the future. But to be lectured about spending beyond your means by the party that nearly bankrupted Britain and caused the worst financial crisis in financial history is somewhat odd, to say the least. And if you cannot see that we balance the budget, and if you cannot see we maintain services, what we've achieved in terms of we've attracted an enterprise zone, we have Charnwood Campus, we've just attracted another £14 million into the borough by having a successful grant to retain 75% of the business rates, which will bring in another quarter of a million, hopefully, to this council. We have reserves and capital plan of £2 million above the actual capital plan. We have a reinvestment reserve of £580,000. The borough is thriving. The unemployment rate within the country as at lowest has been for 43 years. There is hope for the future. Madam Mayor, you spoke of hope. Charnwood is a better place with hope for the future under this administration. I am confident we can deal with the challenges presented to us. I have no hesitation. We have faced challenges like this before. We will overcome them. And I invite anybody, you know, the consultation period is gone and all we get is criticism with no ideas. It's very much like, I can only assume that the opposition are taking a mantra of Jeremy Corbyn, I was present but not involved, because that's how it sounds tonight. Madam Mayor, I commend this medium-term financial strategy to the Council.
Putting the motion to the vote, could I see all those in favour, please? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 6.2, Treasury Management Update, mid-year review for the 6 months ended the 30th of September 2018, page 56 on your agenda. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item, please.
Madam Mayor, to ensure that the Council's governance and management procedures for Treasury management reflect the best practice and comply with the revised SIPFA Treasury Management in the Public Services Code of Practice, Guidance Notes and Treasury Management Policy Statement, that the funding of capital expenditure is taken within the totality of the Council's financial position, and that borrowing and investment are only carried out with the proper regard to the prudential code for capital finance in local authorities, I move that the mid-year review of the Treasury Management Strategy Statement, prudential borrowing and treasury indicators, plus the annual investment strategy, as shown in Part B of the report to the Council attached as an annex, be noted.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that.
second that motion, and I reserve my right to speak. Thank you.
Councillors would like to speak. Please press your buttons. Councillor Mayer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I like it when Councillor Barclay talks. It gives me some amusement. But actually, this is a very important document. It comes to the Council twice a year, the six-month review, then the annual report. Goes to Audit Committee, I believe, as well, where councillors can have a look at it. It is a little bit out of date. September, I think, was the end date. But because of the process and due process, it comes. But the world economy has moved on, I think, since 6 months ago. And the British economy has definitely moved on, and we're teetering on very unknown uncertainties over the next few weeks. So it'll be interesting how the strategy actually plays out for the full 12 months, and councillors who will be back will be able to have a look at what the outcome is in the next 12 months or in the next 6 months. But I can't ask my colleagues to support this strategy. I don't think anybody can support this strategy, or I can't ask them anyway, because it's been put forward by the Conservative Party that led us into that calamitous investment of £1 million. You knew it was coming in an Icelandic bank. So we had the credit crunch, and it was that party opposite that made that investment of £1 million in an Icelandic bank. That investment brought about so much uncertainty and tension to the council and used up so much officer time and stress and grief. So how can we support a strategy that's put forward by them? You talk about Jeremy Corbyn and Labour, but you never know. Come, give it a few weeks. He may be the next Prime Minister of this country, sir.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's a very interesting report, and unlike most that we get, because we actually have mention of Trump, Brexit, the Conservative minority government, immigration and a general election all on one page. So we don't see that very often, and we don't very often hear Jeremy Corbyn's name mentioned at full council. But we will soon, right, when we're having a general election, and things will change, thank goodness. You will recall at the last budget meeting earlier this year, the last full budget meeting in February, I mentioned the first county council to go bankrupt, Northamptonshire. And there are now six more on the brink. This is a very serious situation. So I'm questioning the practice of why councils are lending money to each other. Leicestershire County Council loaned Northamptonshire millions of pounds without any consultation at all. And how is it morally right that a council facing through £65 million of austerity cuts, that's Northamptonshire, also has to pay back £35,000 interest that we as districts and borough will all benefit from? That is not moral. In this document, we are lending to other councils. It's that that I question, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Bevington, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Point of order. What's that got to do? We're Charnwood Borough Council. That's what we're talking about.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to leave all the good jokes to Councillor Barclay, because to be honest, that was quite a routine from Councillor Draycott to follow. I do remember certain conversations with various Labour Party members only a year or so ago when they were desperate for a general election just so they could actually replace their leader. So didn't quite work out the way you hoped, had it, either. But there you go. There's events for you. But just to say, as far as the investment's concerned, these are important investments for us as an authority. We need to maximise the income that we get for our residents. When it comes to investments, this is about our residents. It's about making sure that we get the best income back so that we can actually plough that back into frontline services. That's why these investments are so important. That's why this paper is so important. And that's why the strategy that Tom and the finance team in Charnwood have been so successful about to actually maximise the amount of income that we can get back for our residents' benefit. It's the residents. It's always about the residents, and it's about the services that we provide them. We must never, ever forget about that.
Any other councillors? Thank you. Councillor Gerard, please.
Thank you. I have nothing further to add, Lady Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Barclay, to sum up, please.
Madam Mayor, and yet again it appears as though the opposition haven't even read it. They have. No, you have no strategy, as you said, like your leader, Jeremy Corbyn. No defence policy, no idea, no clue. Not, you know, I was there but not involved. We have this policy specifically to lay down guidelines of how we manage our cash flow, how we manage our capital expenditure, and how we manage our investments. It has been extremely successful. All the indicators have not been breached. Now, you're voting against it, but you have no alternative. So you would just throw the money to the winds. You would have no strategy, no policy, no safeguards. You wouldn't use any credit reference agents or anything like that. You'd just let it all go. No doubt you'd invest it in a Labour council somewhere. You'd lose the lot. We are on track with all our indicators. We're actually above target for our income to the half year. The reason we... Somebody mentioned something about the Icelandic banks. We got all that money back years ago. Has it taken you this long to realise that? For God's sake. For goodness sake, 3 years on, they realise. I mean, 3 years on, they realise not having a treasury management strategy is absolutely destructive. And we have people who purport to want to form a government who have no policy as far as the money of the people of Charnwood is concerned. They can't support a strategy because the Conservative... So I've put it forward, but they have no alternative to offer us. Madness. Absolute madness. Beyond belief. I can't say anymore. There really isn't anything else to say. I commend this policy, and we do have a strategy, and we're going to stick to it.
Now, I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. I'm now moving on to item 6.3, Capital Plan Amendment Report, page 75 on your agenda. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, to confirm that the acquisition of affordable housing to meet the housing need HRE scheme should be increased to the sum of $477,000 and that the cost to be funded 30% from retained 141 capital receipts and 70% from the HRA reserves, and to enable the scheme budget to be available in 2021. I move that the acquisition of affordable housing to meet housing needs HRA scheme be increased by the sum of $477,000 to be added to the capital plan in 2020-21, and it proceeds, and that the Loughborough University Science and Enterprise Park budget of $350,000 slippage from 2018-19 to 2019-20 be approved.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to second that and reserve my right to speak.
If any councillors would like to speak, please press your buttons. No? Oh, Councillor Draycott, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to comment again about the unsustainable policy of buying houses and adding them to the housing stock. I've raised this before. On page 80 of the report, it quite clearly states that two-bedroom properties are profitable as well as bungalows. Yet further on the agenda, we've got a report saying that we've purchased three-bedroomed and four-bedroomed properties. Now, at the last council meeting, Councillor Bradshaw asked a number of questions, and if you go back to page 13 of your papers, it's to do with the questions that were asked at the previous meeting, and it's minute number 54, and I'll read it, it's very short. A written response regarding whether the purchase of three-bedroom properties as opposed to two-bedroom properties and bungalows as additional HRA revenue properties for rental was in accordance with the council policy is still awaited. That was asked for two council meetings ago, and it is still not available because I believe there isn't such a policy. The policy and all of the planning documents we have clearly state that two-bedroom properties are what are short and what are needed. We have 2,500 people on the waiting list for council properties. We have a large number in large properties that would like to downsize to two-bedroomed. Why aren't we tackling that as a quick win to get more HRA stock, Madam Mayor? So I really would like to see this policy that states that we should be buying three-bedroomed, four-bedroom properties because it's two-bedroomed and bungalows that we should be purchasing, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor, please.
I mentioned financial underspends earlier when talking about the MTFS, but when we look at the capital plan, it's no different. And I don't think I'm the only person that must have picked this up. Our own audit committee sent a paper to the last cabinet meeting when it met last week regarding underspends, and it's astonishing the level of underspends. And if you, councillors, you probably won't have it, but if you look back at the paper that Audit Committee gave and the officer's responses. The position at end of period 7, which would have been October, end of October on the capital programme, only 18% of the capital programme was spent. So officers did some work, they must have done some digging around and for some invoices, where you had £940,000 of actual spend. All of a sudden, by the end of November, so 30 days later, you had £1.7 million worth of spend. And, you know, that didn't sit comfortable with me, so I'm going to do some more diggings with that. But that's only still 35% after 8 months of the year of capital spend on the actual spend on the capital programme. So it does concern me the lack of underspending that is happening and the amount of things that are either cancelled and moved over to the next year. The Science and Enterprise Park is a prime example. Councillor Barclay mentioned it several times already today. But if you look at it, it was front page in the Echo. But now when we actually look at the details of it, it's actually been slipped back and then slipped back and then slipped back and then slipped back. And I bet you it will go away of others that eventually three or four years later, it won't get spent and we'll use it on something else. But it's just an example. On a personal note, I'm very disappointed that Sidings Park in my ward, a programme that was going to have some money spent on it, has been scrapped. Residents around my area were eager to have it implemented. But on page 81, it says it's not going to go ahead. And there's Jubilee Park as well listed as well. But if you look at the capital plan, and I just want to go back to the underspends, some of the amounts, both in the normal capital plan and the HRA, are significant amounts of money. And when we're not spending that, it means we're not spending that in our local economy. You know, so tradesmen aren't getting work, local tradesmen aren't getting work if it's the HRA account. Local our tenants aren't getting their kitchens fixed or the bathrooms fixed. but it also means that we're not delivering on the promises that we're making, say, a year ago or whenever it is that we set this programme. So the council as a whole is being reflected here. It's not just the Conservatives or the Labour Party. It is the council as a whole when we don't deliver on this plan. And sometimes when your local park doesn't get done up, people don't care who the council, who runs the council. It's us as the councillor that gets it in the neck. And the Nussmas is the same all the way across this chamber. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hunt, please.
Madam Mayor. I think I said this two council meetings ago in relation to what Councillor Draycott referred to, but I'll say it again. The word preferable is in that sentence. It is preferable that we go for those types of houses, two-bed and bungalow, and I personally would like to see bungalows, as I said last time. But at the moment, the needs of the residents that they're going for with those houses require those size of houses. So let's see what else reflects on the council. Well, we're really meeting the needs of residents, in my opinion. In the previous 20 years before we became the Conservative Council here, we hadn't built any council homes. And then we built nine in Shepshed, I think it was in 2014, 2013, something like that. And we've built more since. We're buying houses so that people can rent them affordably. We're working at building affordable houses and working with developers to get more affordable houses in the area. And of our own council houses we have, we not only meet the decent home standard, which was never met, zero stars, nothing during the Labour government and the Labour council time. We now have the Charnwood standard, an increased level above the decent home standard. So that's what we reflects on this council. Good help, really meeting the needs of our residents.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I just ask for clarification on page 80, item 9, about the public realm Shepshed, and I'm glad that it's being carried forward. It just says anticipated now in January 2018. I think it should have meant 2019. And I am aware that we're working very hard with the town team to get things moving. We've had issues with some of the
businesses.
Not supporting us, but we know we're working very hard, and we've got a town team meeting this Wednesday, and hopefully things should go forward. Thank you anyway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's more a point of clarification, really. It's with regard to the superfast broadband. Now, this is something I've kind of watched over the last few years. If we keep transferring money into the County Council, roughly £100,000 a year, and I think Tom would deny that. What I don't see coming back is what information do you get to say that what they've done for Charnwood? So we're given £100,000, they then put it into the scheme for BT or Openreach to put broadband areas which are difficult to reach. As I said, what I don't see coming back is what are we getting for that money?
Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's worth remembering that we now have more social housing in Charnwood than we have, I think, ever, with 8,482 units. And Councillor Mayer suggested that within the HRA, that we were deliberately underspending so that we could perhaps claw it back or not spending it at all. And this is something which we looked at in Cabinet, having had it raised by the Audit Committee. It's simply a matter of teething problems with a new contractor being brought on board. And there will always be difficulties to make sure that they get it right. And certainly what we agreed over Christmas is that we didn't want to leave any of our tenants in a situation where they didn't actually have a bathroom that they could use. And so the programme was put on hold over that period. But having discussed this with the relevant chief officer and with Lee, whose responsibility it is, I think he and she are fairly confident that We will catch up, and the intention is to spend this money and to make sure that we do bring our homes up to our decent homes standard.
Any other councillor? No. Councillor Taylor, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a couple of points, really. Councillor Mir, if you actually attended the Cabinet, and I would welcome you to come, it's a really enjoyable evening for you to come and sit through, you would have understood what the underspends are all about. We had the officers here explaining it to us fully. So I think it would be useful for you to come to Cabinet every time we hold a Cabinet, and that would probably answer a lot of the questions that you bring to full Council. And just a couple of points for Councillor Draycott. What's available for us to buy is dependent on the market, the housing market. We can't just say, right, we're going to go and buy bungalows or two-bedroom houses if there's none available that would meet our standards. We're not just going to buy any old house. There's strict guidelines as to what houses we buy, and that's governed by our housing waiting list. There's no point in us buying houses if we've got no people waiting for those sorts of houses. So there's two issues to take on board there, and I think you should really try and understand that.
I'm going to talk about the capital plan amendment report because no one else seems to have done. We have a fully funded, Councillor Draycott, we're not spending upon our means. This is a £13 million capital investment programme for the year 18-19. Had you taken the trouble to read the report that came to Council Cabinet, Councillor Mir, you would have found that we are projected to use 84% of the capital spend on the general fund, not so much on the housing revenue account. Councillor Mir has already referred to that. There are projects that are delivered internally, which we have direct control over, and those where there are Section 106 money, externally delivered funds, where we do not have complete control on the delivery of them. They're out in the various parishes and towns around the borough. As far as the super-fast broadband is concerned, they're still evaluating the best way to do that. We haven't actually spent anything yet. It's £100,000. I don't believe BT will give us a blow-by-blow account of which borough within the district has had what speed improvements. But we are going towards trying to generate improvements for businesses and residents in the borough by using this. I'm very proud of some of the work that's been done within the borough on our capital programme. To suggest that officers have a drawer where they pull out invoices from indicates a massive lack of understanding of how we actually create our capital programme and the effort and trouble that goes into evaluating in line with our corporate plan so we can deliver things. But just, again, almost laughable to suggest that we're sunning under the door to pull out some spurious invoices to pay to try and, you know, that's not the way we do finance. We evaluate every project, and if we do have to slip money to the next year, it's for a very good reason. We're not just going to spend it to come into council and say we spent it, but it was just a complete waste of money. We found a few invoices and we'd do it. You know, it's a little bit more sophisticated than that. We have use of the sale proceeds from sale of houses. We have to use that. We'll return it to the government after 3 years with interest at 4%. We don't want to do that. We're using that. We're using some of our housing revenue account money. The housing revenue account's in a very strong position. We have choices, something we never had under the previous administration of Labour. There is hope for the future. Across the borough, we have invested. Every councillor within this council has the opportunity to do work within the community, with community groups, and it's working. But as to say we're spending beyond our means on the capital budget, again, indicates a complete lack of understanding, and I shudder to think what would happen if we put these people in charge. I commend this plan to you. Thank you.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Thank you. Those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is carried. I'm now moving on to item 6.4, review of polling districts, polling places and polling stations. Outcome, page 88. Thank you. I call on Councillor Poland to propose the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, for the reasons set out on page 88, I move recommendations 1 and 2, also set out on page 88.
Good evening, Madam Mayor. I would like to second this motion and I would actually like to reserve my right.
Draw people's attention to page 108, which is Shepshed East. You've got down here the youth centre in Ivesend School. Can I ask that we also put in brackets up the old Hind Leaf, because we are having people got no idea where the Ivesend School is. It was the Hind Leaf that's now been renamed, and I've got a horrible feeling that what happened at the last election, people have got no idea where to go. And also, and it goes to the top of page 109, we've got new polling district, Stonebow Village, is going to be at the same place. So I do hope that's organised so that we get them in the right ballot box. And can I ask the officers to keep, as Shepshed councillors, informed of, you've got seven residents that are saying now are currently within the parish, but they're not going to be able to vote on the town council, so that we know what area in Shepshed. I was quite surprised that part of Shepshed's now gone to the new Stonebow Village without, and I'm sure the clerk's not been informed because she certainly hasn't brought it up to the town council. So that's just a couple of things. Thank you.
Is it best to take them or do you?
Madam Mayor, thank you. I just wanted to spend a few moments, firstly, to thank officers. They found an alternative voting station for Newtown Linford. We had great difficulties over the last two elections for people with wheelchairs couldn't actually get into the polling station to vote. So after discussing it with them, they did some looking at alternatives and have come up with the new, hopefully, voting station for Newtown Linford. And so I just wanted to pass on my thanks to the office for doing that. The other one was the Alan Turling Road. I've been up there and it is a bit difficult for, or a little confusing for the residents that live in the 25 houses. That are still on my ward. There's nothing a lot we can do about it now, but just to say that at the moment they will be paying the Loughborough special rate, but they're all in my ward for voting and I'm looking after them along with the county councillor. So it is a bit confusing for them, but I'm pleased that we've got a mobile unit there so they can actually vote quite close to where they are. The one thing I was going to suggest is that we do look, whoever it is that looks after these things for us in terms of officers, that it doesn't happen again. We seem to have one or two of these coming up recently, and certainly this one that I know about, I think with a bit more care we could have got over it a little bit better, and it would be possibly better to all do everything at the same time. So I'd just bring that to the attention of officers and to the lead member to make sure that we don't run into this again. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to comment on page 104 to do with Loughborough Hastings Ward and the change being proposed, no longer using Cobden School, but using the very sad children's centre that's now being changed into a preschool. I'd make the plea, please, that the lighting that was used at the school be transferred to the entrance to Pinfold Gate, where the preschool building is. As you come off Hume Street, there needs to be really good signage as people go into Pinfold Gate. It is very dark. It is not used a lot, I can assure you, at night. So if that lighting could be transferred and make it easy for people to see and to be safe, I think that would benefit and help people and encourage them to vote. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a very quick one, following on from Councillor Snart's comment. I thought earlier in the year we nailed down the question of where the boundary was in Grange Park, and therefore we didn't have this problem of, and we discussed it at great length, of people paying in one area and voting in another area. We are where we are now, and I accept that. But I would urge that potentially planning picks up on this, because we get more and more large-scale developments. And I recognise if a boundary goes across a field, for example, which is what I think has happened in Grange Park, and a developer's going to build, they don't look at boundaries because it's just a field, then this is the kind of thing, getting ahead of the game will then save us all a lot of hassle, grief, and also potentially getting it right for local residents. Thank you.
Any further councillors? Councillor Ransom, then, please.
Madam Mayor, oh, I'm doing it again. Yes, I'm quite happy with the recommendations on page 88 and and the reasons behind those recommendations. I also assume that all comments that has been brought up tonight will be taken on board. Thank you very much.
Questions
done. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you all for your comments. In terms of Councillor Radford's questions regarding Hindley's, I'll pass this on to the officers to reply in directly to you, if that's okay, on the specifics of that. In terms of the area of Shepshed, now in Stoneborough, again, I'll ask the officers to come back to you and confirm exactly which parts of Stoneborough Village are currently in Shepshed Parish, but because it's a new parish, basically, it's obviously taken from a number of parishes surrounding it, Hathern initially, Garendon, or the others. There aren't many houses in Stoneborough at the minute. It's something that will be obviously populated when the new development starts, but in terms of the specifics, I will ask the officers to confirm that in writing with you. Councillor Snott, thank you for your contribution as well. In terms of the Alan Turing Road question, I completely agree, and it covers Councillor Hayes's point as well. I completely agree, it's not an ideal situation. Really, if it was within our power to do it, we would have moved the borough boundaries, county, and actually there's a parliamentary boundary involved as well. Fortunately, the only thing we're able to do directly is the parish element of that, which is why we've done it when we have. There will be a boundary review coming up in the next council term, from memory 2020, but I could be corrected for that. And in that, we'll be obviously recommending that the boundaries in that area and indeed elsewhere where it's applicable will be moved accordingly so that it does match. But you know, here it's not ideal situation, and it is one of these anomalies that back in the day when they were first created, it was in the middle of a field miles from anywhere, and as development sort of expanded outwards, these things happen. But obviously it's something we're aware of and, you know, endeavour to not happen again. Councillor Draycott, yeah, it would be okay if the officer responds in writing for that one. I think I've addressed everyone's queries, I think. So I would commend this report to Cabinet, to the Council.
Very much. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Everyone unanimous? Any against? No. And abstentions? I have to read all of these out, even though I could see that everyone was in favour and unanimous. Thank you very much. Item 6.5. I'm now moving to this authorisation of absence. Councillor David Gaskell, page 111. Thank you. I call on Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to enable our good friend Councillor Gaskell's absence to be authorised by the Council prior to the end of the six-month period since he was last able to attend a meeting as required by Section 85/1 of the Local Government Act 1972, I move that Councillor David Gaskell's absence from meetings since the Licensing Committee meeting on the 7th of August 2018 be authorised due to his ill health.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this and reserve my right to speak.
Those would like to speak, please press your buttons. Nope. So we'll move on to Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Nothing further to add other than to obviously send my best wishes to Councillor Gaskell.
Madam Mayor, I know all of us will send our wishes that Councillor Poland have just mentioned to David and wish him speedy recovery.
Please. Thank you. Those against? Any abstentions? And may I add my best wishes to those that see him, and I saw him just before Christmas. He came to the carol service, which, thank you. Okay, I'm now moving on to item 6.6, political balance and appointments to committees for 2018-19, page 113. I call on Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to ensure that the composition of the Council's committees reflects the political balance of the Council, I move that the revised political balance arrangements of the Council year 2018-19, as set out in Appendix 1, be approved in accordance with the Local Government and Housing Act 1989 and the Local Government Committees and Political Groups Regulations 1990. I also move that Councillor Ranson be appointed to the Licensing Committee and that Councillor Baines be appointed to the Overview and Scrutiny Group.
I'm on. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this and reserve my right to speak.
Any more councillors who would like to speak? Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. As I understand the report, there's a vacancy on the licensing committee, so I'd like to move Councillor May Jewell for that position, please. Thank you. Jewell May.
An amendment, this is.
Sorry.
Oops, yeah.
Madam Mayor, constitutionally, if Councillor Morgan and Councillor Poland, as proposers and seconders of the original motion, agree to the amendment, we can then just proceed with it as an amended motion without having to vote on the amendment itself.
The vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Those against? And any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is carried. So that's it. We've finished. That's wonderful. Thank you. So we move to the next item. 7. Call-in references. There are no call-in references from scrutiny. Item 8, position statements. There have been no requests for position statements. Thank heavens. Item 9, motions on notice. No motions on notice have been received. I'm now moving on to item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are on the green sheets. We are for people in the gallery. Starting at page 10, I will call on those councillors who have indicated that they wish to ask a supplementary question or make a statement. Supplementary questions or statements must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions or statements will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 2 minutes to ask their supplementary question and or make their statement, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak for up to 2 minutes. Item 10.1, 5-year housing land supply. Councillor Snart, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please?
Madam Mayor, I must say I was most disappointed with the answer to my question about monitoring the 5-year land supply position throughout the year. In my view, the answer does not fit with the findings of the 5-member panel, which many hours of in-depth work with members and officers made recommendations to the Scrutiny Management Board to add a 5-year land supply calculation to the Council's key performance indicators, to be reviewed with a quarterly report to the Performance Scrutiny Panel. This was also an item on the Cabinet meeting 15th of November 2018. How is it possible to achieve this with the information supplied in the answer to my question? The answer, in my opinion, does not give clarity or certainty to whether the Council will maintain a 5-year land supply when the annual figure is leased at the end of March 2019. It refers to a number of house completions and undetermined planning applications. I recall the council had 12,500 dwellings with a planning permission, but still not could demonstrate a five-year supply. This manifested in our villages seeing piecemeal development not in line with the core strategy, remembering not one dwelling has been built at the sustainable urban extensions. Madam Mayor, this is an important measure, especially for our villages and the area I represent. Therefore, I would be grateful if this could be looked at again and a response given that supports the in-depth findings of the member scrutiny panel. It will be too late to influence the annual figure if the council does not support having this measure included in the key performance indicators and reviewed quarterly. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And so I have to ask the leader, please, to respond.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I'm going to try my best Councillor Vardy impersonation. In short, the important point I think that you raise, Councillor Snart, is the Cabinet decision about the scrutiny panel, which was to actually present to the performance panel. I can see that you have the chair of the performance panel beside you, that the figures should be presented to performance on a quarterly basis, and hopefully come the next performance meeting, which I hopefully will be coming up soon, there will be an indicator that's presented in accordance with the Cabinet decision, which was in its turn a review of the scrutiny panel itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 10.2, alternative means of assisting beggars and rough sleepers. Councillor Parton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
There's 597 deaths, and the Office of National Statistics say that in 2017, over half of these deaths were either suicide, liver failure, or drug poisoning. And drug poisoning accounts for over 32% of the 597 deaths. And the average age of the death of the males was 44, and for the women it was 42. Now in Charnwood, we don't have many, we have few. We have many. We have many people that are helping. We have the council, we have the bridge, we have the Falcon Centre, we have the Exario Trust. But the question is what can us councillors do? What can the public do? And Luton Council have the answer. You take your phone, and it doesn't need to be a smartphone. And you pick a number. And then you pick an amount, either £1, £2, £5 or £10, and you send that text. And immediately that money goes to one of the charities that works with these to save these people's lives. I strongly suggest that we follow this lead and that we prevent, God forbid, any of these 597 deaths to be repeated.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely, this is an idea which we will look at. Charnwood does a huge amount to address the problem of rough sleeping. But I think it's important to remember that it's a bit like a Venn diagram where there's not many things overlapping, that the beggars in town, many of whom, or some of whom actually commute into Loughborough to do their begging, are not homeless, and they're certainly not rough sleepers, and in my experience, the rough sleepers are not beggars, so they're very much mutually exclusive. Councillor Parton came out with us when we did our annual survey of rough sleepers, and this year we actually found three, and we've effectively dealt with all of them in addressing the problems. None of whom actually came from Charnwood. What I would say is that we are keen to look at all ways in which we can actually help them, and I'm particularly keen to see people actually donate money to the Bridge and the other charities which are doing so much to help them, rather than actually encouraging begging in Loughborough. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Three priority neighbourhood areas in Charnwood. Councillor Parton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please?
It was Martin Luther King that said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Now, we all have, we're having, and we will have problems. Life is problems, it always has been. But there are thousands of people, especially in four priority neighbourhood areas in Charnwood, who need that extra help in their lives, extra help to achieve their goals, extra help with organising their lives, and extra help to manage and get through their day. And in four areas, we have 24 projects that are either managed, funded, or supported by this council. Now, Martin Luther King asked, what are you doing for others? And as community leaders, we need to be seen to be taking that lead. And I encourage you all to find one action, one thing that you can do to support either one of these 24. And I would give you the example of two of our own in this room, one who's here, one who isn't. Councillor Radford gives up every Christmas day to man and organise the Glenmore Centre for people who are vulnerable and are lonely and go and have a Christmas meal. Councillor Forrest, not a day goes by when I don't see a car outside John Storer House. What are you doing for others? I'll tell you what Charlborough Council's doing. There's 24 projects. That's what we're doing for others.
Councillor Taylor, do you wish to respond, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to Councillor Parton for his question, and also the page and a half answer we've got in here in front of us. I think is very useful for all of us just to take stock of what we actually do in these priority neighbourhoods in Charnwood. And just to go on to say the staff that work in these areas for us go above and beyond what is their duty and what they're paid to do, and they put so much into these areas, work extremely closely with these neighbourhoods and with the residents in there to support and help them. So I do give thanks to all the staff that are involved. And I know Councillor Draycock will be interested to know this. In Loughborough East, the Falcon Centre, I've actually been there today to pass them a cheque for £284 from the Charnwood Community Lottery that people have put into. And they're extremely pleased to help with their drop-in that helps with the rough sleepers in Charnwood. They've just had a cheque today from us up to December 2018 for £284 from our community lottery. So thank you, Councillor Parton. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item 10.4, People Zones. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to make a statement and ask a question, if I may. It was August last year when the three people zones were designated, one in New Parks, Leicester, one in North West Leicestershire, and the third at the Belfoundry Estate in Loughborough in the Hastings Ward. Since then, not one action has been carried out. I thank the Cabinet Leader and the officers for the reply, but I'm afraid some of the information I would challenge. New Parks has managed to apply for three pots of funding for their projects, which are underway from the police, which have been available. North West Leicestershire have had a brilliant project working with the fire service, removing possible property that could be arson in the area. But so far in the people's zone for Belfoundry Estate, absolutely nothing. No change at all. So I'm really disappointed, and I'd ask the Cabinet Lead if they could look at the outcomes and the actions of the other two people zones and why it's taking us so long.
I mean, the fact that we've only just set up two meetings to start planning, I'm afraid the other two are way ahead of us, and the residents of the Bell Foundry have not benefited one jot so far, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Taylor, do you wish to respond, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we need to be aware this is a Police and Crime Commissioner's project working in partnership with Chalmers, so we're not actually the lead in this. We're partnership and supporting the PCC. I'm surprised you've said that nothing's happened. Have you not seen the new CCTV camera that's been put up in the Pell Foundry estate? That's been put in there. There's been a lot of work done in the background. We've now got the Chalmers People's Vote that now has their vision, their strategy and structures in place, and now looking at delivery in the implementation stage. Just to take these three areas, they are totally different areas, totally different amounts of sets of people, and they work totally different. So to say that nothing's happened, I think, is pretty poor to say. What this People's Zone is doing is working on what we already have in there. We already do a huge amount of work in that area. And what this is doing is just bringing more partners together. I'm sure you understand how difficult it is to get all the different organisations around the table to discuss, and that's what we've been working hard, and we continue to work hard. But I do not believe that we've done nothing since August, and I don't think how you can sit there and say that we haven't. But we need to look at all these areas separately. What one area is doing are totally different to our area. We are fully on board with this. We're supporting the PPC. I've had loads of meetings with Lord Back, and I think we're moving on very quickly, and I think you will see that there is stuff that's been done in the background and that is in implementation at the moment.
Item 10.5, food safety inspections. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A statement and a short question, if I may. First of all, thank the Cabinet Lead and the officers for the reply. And it's in reference to the recent prosecution of a food business that prompted this question. E. coli, listeria, food 47 days past its sell-by date is a serious concern. And I've been quite surprised by the number of members, public, when you're out and about just after it was in the Echo. The conversation wasn't, oh, what a successful prosecution by the council. It was, why did it take so long for it to happen, for it to close down? Sad fact is, it only was closed down because the business itself closed it down, or else otherwise it would have been monitoring, it would have been notices. In all of this time, people were still buying food at this shop. My question, Madam Mayor, is that I thought the council had powers when it was such a serious situation to close it down immediately. I think you have to have a court order, but I think there's a process. You could close it down immediately. It went on from June for a number of months, and only, as I say, because the business closed, the monitoring and everything stopped. People were buying food when you got E. coli and listeria. Would the Cabinet Lead go back to the policy mentioned in the report and amend, if necessary, that where such a dangerous environment is found to the public, the business is shut down immediately? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Smidovich, do you wish to respond, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. I take your point, Councillor Draycott, but I have to say that the person who owned the business was given a lot of opportunities to put things right, but certain food, he was stopped from selling the food. I don't know. I don't think that statement that he closed it down himself was correct. But I will check that out. But I'm pretty sure that we closed it and then gave him an opportunity to put things right, clean things up. And, of course, because he didn't comply, he was closed down and prosecuted. We take this very seriously. I had a case in my own family of salmonella in the south of England, which had very serious repercussions. And it was isolated to somebody with dirty fingernails who'd cleaned a fish tank in the morning. So something quite small can escalate to be a huge epidemic. I've been out countless times with the offices to various restaurants and where food's been prepared, and
it's been really interesting to see how our officers are dealing with situations. I've got nothing but admiration for the thoroughness of what they undertake and the opportunities that are given to up the standards, to gain extra stars, and work with the various restaurant owners. I will double-check, though, that we closed it as opposed to the resident closing, or the owner, I should get the word out, the owner closing it, but I'm pretty sure we closed it.
Provision of affordable and social housing. Councillor Harris, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I welcome the news that the supply of affordable homes is above the trajectory, if that is indeed the case. And I trust that when the bricks are finally laid, or some bricks at least, in the Garendon Sioux, that this trend will continue. However, will the purchase of homes on the open market do more than scratch the surface of the need? And will the acquired properties contribute anything in the long term with the right to buy eroding the numbers after a short time, after such a huge amount of money has been spent? Is there any scope for any other methods, such as producing modular housing or acquiring some unused buildings and converting them into dwellings? Could such measures help to ease the numbers on the housing register, which have increased by 20% in the last 2 years? Thank you.
Councillor Vardy isn't here, so would you kindly do the honours, please, Jonathan?
Madam Mayor, I'll try my second time this evening, my impersonation of Councillor Vardy. Councillor Harris, thank you very much for your questions. You'll probably see from recent Cabinet discussions and agreements that the Cabinet are exploring all sorts of additional ways to try and support and, if need be, get involved in the housing market within Charnwood. Government nationally have obviously released the cap on the HRA for investment in housing. And we, for the last couple of years, have actually been investigating, even before that announcement came through, what measures we could actually take to support, in particular, the social housing provision across the borough, and also to try and actually correct some of the market imperfections, I think, probably through the private delivery of housing within the borough. The figures that you've seen below within the original answer quite clearly paint a particular picture about how that's working at the moment. But what we are very conscious of is where we can and the methods that we have at our disposal. With the announcement of the lifting of the HRA, obviously it does mean that we can actually do a little bit more, and we're looking to explore how that can actually happen. We're certainly trying to be as flexible as possible at the moment, because it may well be that just building houses is not necessarily the best way and the quickest way of actually producing the results that we want. But we're certainly being as creative as possible to make sure that our response on behalf of our residents is as positive as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 10.7, Chief Executive's Performance and Development Reviews. Councillor Hayes, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to also thank Councillor Morgan for the written response to my inquiry to establish the dates when the Chief Exec had his performance review interviews during the past 5 years, and note that a recent performance review interview took place on the 1st of November. Firstly, Madam Mayor, may I apologise for what can only be described as my clumsy language in the form of plain English, or perhaps where I come from, a regional dialect. And I'm a little bit mutton Jeff, and if you don't know what that means, it means deaf. And I know that my bluntness often offends colleagues. So, may I to say that I was rather surprised at that the records for the past previous years were not available. May I just take a moment, Madam Mayor, to read just a few words which I quoted in the 3rd of September 2018. Madam Mayor, being accountable seems to be in short supply here. My confidence in the Chief Exec is going down the drain and the lack of accountability. So the word surprise, I'm trying to say, is an easy way of describing it. And I've discussed with the monitoring officer as this complaint against me as regard to no action. We've got a lot to do over the next 3 years with regard to 2.2 savings and obviously dealing with deadlines of surprise financial issues popping up. So perhaps, Councillor Morgan, I'd be grateful. Good timing.
I think probably I'll talk to Councillor Hayes separately because I think he was about to get through to a question. So I think another time I'll talk to Councillor Hayes and find out what the question was. Thank you.
Item 10.8, Loughborough Town Centre. Councillor Hamilton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please? I'm sorry. Excuse. Oh my gosh. I think the heater is blowing cold air. Sorry.
I think you should just progress as quickly as you can.
Yes. Excuse me, everyone, please. Councillor Hamilton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement and all hug each other? That's all.
Statement, and the temperature just suits me fine, but that could be a cultural thing. First of all, I'd like to thank Cabinet Lead and officers for a very full answer to my question on about how to revitalise the town centre. But it is rather disturbing when you walk around Loughborough and you actually deliberately look for what shops are closed, and the latest figures I was provided with is 10%. Of shops are currently vacant here. It's a number that has risen over the last year. Now, I am aware that there's a number of very good initiatives going on right now, particularly around the market development. And I was very pleased to see that the Council is making a bid for the future High Streets Fund to invest in Loughborough Town Centre. But like anything, there's always more we can do. And I'm a great believer in learning from others, and other councils are doing various initiatives. So, for example, there are the creation of empty shops registers to identify the owners as part of an engagement strategy to see if something we can do about it, or even to engage in for temporary use, for community use, things like that. There are some places, Sheffield, Plymouth, offer free public Wi-Fi in their centres, and that's something that needn't cost a lot because you can actually do deals with commercial network providers by giving access to street furniture or street lamps. And in return, they can give some free Wi-Fi to the public. And there's also initiatives. I think Trafford City has done remarkable things in revitalising their town centres with a town centre business growth programme, which helps arrange loans of up to £20,000 for traders if they wish to set up business in town centres. So there's lots of initiatives out there. It's good what we're doing right now, but I think we should be open to look at what's happening elsewhere to see if there's something we can do to help revitalise Loughborough Town Centre. Thank you.
Councillor Boker, please. Do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton, for your question. And as you rightly say, there was quite a comprehensive list of all the initiatives that we are currently undertaking. and we are actively at this moment putting our bid together for the government's future high street funds. As you know, some of these shop closures are national problems. For instance, Greenwoods are in trouble and Burton also in trouble, and they have taken a national decision to close some of the shops that they don't feel are performing well. I hear on the grapevine that Burton's are or is sold, but I'm not sure who to. Perhaps Jewel knows more than I do. We are willing always to look at other initiatives. We do have a lot of Wi-Fi available, free Wi-Fi available in Loughborough Town Centre, especially in McDonald's. And actually in the town hall. I think you find most people in the winter wouldn't actually stand around using free Wi-Fi as they walk around the town centre. But that's not to say we couldn't look into it. As far as your other suggestions are concerned, if you send them to me in an email, I'm more than happy to take the time to look at them and then give you a fairly speedy response as to whether it's viable or not. Okay, thank you.
Item 10.9, access to social housing for members of the armed forces, veterans and their families. Councillor Bradshaw, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement, please?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I think I'm the only one in this room with a short-sleeved blouse on tonight. It's still warm. So, first of all, thank you for the reply, and I'm glad the council's responding to the consultation. However, some councils across the country are already helping those with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and mental health issues to secure social housing. Let me tell you, please, Leicester City Council, for example, and to quote from their website, look to see if you are vulnerable in any way. This may involve showing how disability, mental health problems or other issues affect ability to secure housing compared to others who are rendered homeless. Councils that already treat mental and physical needs equally include Labour-controlled Birmingham City Council, where such former servicemen and women will be placed in their top priority band irrespective if their need is physical or mental. Thousands of ex-service personnel suffer from PTSD. The Guardian, for example, reported that 6% of veterans experience PTSD, rising to 9.4% for those deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Rates of PTSD were especially high for ex-servicemen personnel who had served in combat, with 17.1% of former combatants experiencing PTSD compared to 5% for those who had worked in the support role. As a psychotherapist, I deal with clients on a regular basis with this and other mental health conditions. I have witnessed firsthand clients from the military who struggle to get housing due to their condition, mental illness which is hidden to those on the outside. They need our help, and instead of following, which this council has done for some years in this field, may I suggest that Charnwood Borough Council be a leader in this. Let's get our council staff that extra training on how to support our veterans with mental illness and prioritise social housing for them. Thank you.
Councillor Mercer, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The question is whether we give our full support to the proposal, and not entirely sure whether Councillor Bradshaw has actually read it, but there were a number of things that concerned me. And in particular, all it does is it says that the local councillors should be strongly encouraged to take action. And I think personally that we should go a little bit further. And indeed, even before we actually submit our response to this consultation document, and indeed, as Councillor Bradshaw suggested, I'd quite like to look at ways in which we can cherry-pick the best and most appropriate ideas. As it happens, we already ask people who come to us as homeless, whether they'd been in the armed services. And I absolutely accept the need to take on board mental health issues at the same level as physical injuries. So I certainly welcome the fact that Councillor Bradshaw has drawn this to our attention. And, Madam Mayor, quite appropriately, because today is actually Blue Monday, not because we're 5% ahead in the polls on YouGov, but because it's the day that we try to draw attention to mental health issues, and in particular in the armed services, where armed services charities have pointed out that on average veterans take an average of 4 years to come forward with their problems. So as I say, it's a suggestion that I welcome. We will be responding, and we will be looking in advance of these ideas being implemented in ways in which we can implement them in Charnwood.
Turn Pest Control Service. We've got to take that as read, as Councillor Forrest isn't here. And it's notable that in this chamber, we're always thinking it's too hot sometimes, but at the moment there's a lot of cold air coming in, so I need to move on. Item 11, minute references. There are no minute references. I'm now moving on to item 12, urgent executive decisions exempted from call-in, page 119. This is a report to inform the Council of a number of decisions which were exempted from call-in in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.9. This includes annexes 1 to 5, which can be discussed in public, and an exempt annex which must be discussed in private. If any councillors would like to ask a question about annexes 1 to 5, please indicate your wish to do so by pressing your buttons. Any councillors? We've got just... It's the first 5... questions. It's open. Any councillors that wish to speak? Yes, we're here. If any councillors would like to ask a question about the exempt annex, please indicate your wish to do so by pressing your buttons. No councillors? Or any councillors who wish to speak? Then,
Councillor Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Mayor. Yes, but we have to.
You do.
We have to clear the gallery of the public, please. So this is an exit. Yes. Thank you. Lucky people, eh? Hey?
You still need to read that out and then make a resolution. So if you could.
Yes. This will need to be, this will need to be considered as an exempt item, and we will first close the public part of the meeting and resolve to exclude the press and public, which we have done.
No, you haven't. You've got to do it now. You've got to read that.
Hold on. That's the bit here, isn't it? Yes. I move that members of the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of the following item, on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 3 and 5, or part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information.
I second this, Madam Mayor.
Okay, so I just...
Now you vote on it.
Yep, I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Okay. Those against? Any abstentions?
Right. So, and then you go there.
Yes. If any councillors would like to ask a question about...